Our scripture reading for tonight, our first scripture reading for tonight, is going to come from Matthew's Gospel. And we'll be reading from chapter 6, Matthew's Gospel, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll skip over to verse 16 and read through 21. Let us listen to God's word for us. Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then down to verse 16. And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And our next scripture reading will come from Isaiah, the 58th chapter. It is on page 637 of your pew Bibles. Let us listen to God's word again for us. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and thou hast not seen? Why have we humbled ourselves and thou takest no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasures and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it to show down the to bow down the head like a rush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up specifically. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the pointing of the finger, speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire with good things and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fall not. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. It's the word of the Lord. Good evening to you. You know that today is the Ash Wednesday, which is the start of Lent. It's the beginning, Lent is, of the 40-day journey that we will make with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he makes his way to the cross. It's important to understand that Lent is always a process of dying. That's what we do when we journey with Jesus. It is an exercise of dying, dying to ourselves, dying to all the things that we believe can give our lives meaning and purpose. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who once said that when Jesus calls someone, he calls them to come and to die. And during Lent, we are reminded of that. We are reminded that we are called to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to newness of life. But before we experience that newness of life, we must first die to ourselves and die to our ambitions, all the things that we believe give our lives meaning and purpose. All the Gospels tell us that before Jesus embarks upon his ministry, he spends 40 days in the wilderness. He spends time fasting and praying and resisting the temptations of the Satan as he begins to embark on the journey of the cross. One of the things that Satan wants to do is to get Jesus to bypass the cross, to bypass the way of self-giving love. But Jesus renounces the way of the world and embarks upon the way of the cross. But before he does that, it is a period of 40 days of fasting and praying. And one of the things we do during Lent is to emphasize those spiritual disciplines: fasting, praying, almsgiving, Bible study, all the kinds of things that help to ground us in the being the people that we are called to be. In fact, Lent was probably started because Christians started to become a little lax in their spiritual disciplines and a little lax in living the kind of lives that we are called to live as God's people. And so the church remembered the 40 days in the wilderness that Jesus spent and the 40 years in the wilderness that Israel spent before it embarked upon its vocation as God's people coming into the promised land. And so Lent is an opportunity for us, too, to be recharged, to become refreshed in our spiritual disciplines, to include fasting and praying and Bible study. I hope all of you will be doing that during this Lenten season, a little bit of fasting and praying, of course, and also Bible study. Can't stress that enough. The problem is when we start wearing our piety on our sleeves. I'm sure you've probably known people who wear their piety on their sleeves, people who want you to know that they are religious, people who go out of the way to convey to all of those around in public that they are religious. That's a temptation for all of us, but it's especially a temptation for us pastors. We love to pray in public and often love to be seen as people who are religious. Several years ago, I used to love to wear my clergy collar because it afforded me many advantages. You didn't have to argue when you went into to the hospital for a parking space. People often let you cut in line in the supermarket. People was quick to speak to you. I even had a lady who bought me a lottery ticket once because I was wearing my clergy collar. She thought that for some reason that she might be blessed or that some kind of good luck would redound to her. But we do that sometimes. There was advantages to wearing the clergy collar because it said that, you know, somebody, you know, religious and a pastor. and we can become spiritually conceited. But Jesus reminds us that we are not to seek that kind of spiritual pride, but we are to live, to undergo our spiritual disciplines quietly, to pray quietly, to fast in a way that doesn't call attention to ourselves, to be as humble as we can be in the practice of our spiritual disciplines. And so that's something that we need to be reminded during this season of Lent when we are undergoing our spiritual disciplines, is that it's not about the outward display of religiosity, but it's about how we, with sincerity, attend to our spiritual disciplines. Another danger, of course, is that we sometimes substitute religiosity for godliness. We sometimes become so enamored with trying to ensure to those around us that we are religious that we really forget what it means to live as God's people. Occasionally I'll get something, a notice that that talks about a day of fasting or a time of national prayer. And all of those things are important. We live in a country where we need prayer. Our nation needs prayer. But to simply engage in praying and fasting without attending to how we live our lives with one another and before God will not move us closer to God. It will move us away from God. The Israelites often tried that as God's people. One of the things that they often did was to revert to a kind of religiosity. If we pray and if we fast, God will hear us and God will restore our fortunes. But the Lord often reminds the Israelites that that God hates it when they do that. God hates their religiosity. God hates their singing. God hates their incense burning. God hates their fasting whenever they live apart from being the people that God has called them to be. And one of the ways that they are called to live that is to make sure that they are taking care of one another, especially those who are in their midst, who are the most vulnerable. Share your bread with the hungry. Do justice to your workers. Look out for your kinfolk who you might be tempted to ignore. You are to live in a manner that reflects what it means to be God's people. And so we're reminded that God hates religiosity, outward displays of religiosity, whenever they are separated from how we live our lives and how we relate both to God and to one another. So I would hope that during this season of Lent that we keep those things in mind as we embark upon this journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That this great journey that we are on is not about us so much. It's not about doing what we want to do. It's not about our pride. It's not about being front and center. It's not about having everyone to look at us and see how good we are. But it's about following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about dying to ourselves so that we might be raised to newness of life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just one other thing I'll say here. And that is that the dying and the living of Lent is something that begins right now. It's not just something that begins when we die. Being raised in newness of life is not just something that happens when we die. That is true. But the dying and the raising that we talk about during Lent is a dying and raising that begins right now. It's dying to ourselves and being raised anew to walk in the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the way of self-giving love. And when we can grasp that, we begin to grasp what this season of Lent is designed to show us and to help us with, that we are called to be God's people, that we belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are a people who have died to ourselves so that we might live for God and live for one another as God has called us to be. Amen.